But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God gives us power to do what he's asked us to do. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Most believers forget about the unbelievers that are outside the church. According to one count, the gospel records Jesus had 132 contacts. Six were in the temple, four were in the synagogue, and 122 were out with people in the mainstream of life. God has called us to go out where we work, where we live, where we eat, where we shop, to share the good news of the gospel, and he gives us the power to do that. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. So God anointed Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the same power that God anoints us with. God anoints us with the Holy Spirit to be a powerful witness. The word anoint comes from the root word, which means to furnish what is needed. So God furnishes it for us what is needed. We don't have to gather a box and put all of this stuff in it. God will furnish what is needed. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability. He'll give us the words. In a book called The No Guilt Witnessing Guide, the writer of it, his name is George Sweeting, he tells a story of a man named John Currier. In 1949, this man was found guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. And in 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated. And a letter with the good news in it was sent to him. But the man never received the letter, and he was never told anything about it. So he continued to work on this farm, hard labor, continued to do what he was told to do, and never had any idea of the good news. And the farmer died, and he continued after that for 10 years to work on this farm, until a state parole officer learned about his situation, and he went and he found him, and he shared the good news that his sentence was terminated and that he was a free man. And in the book, the author concludes the story by asking, would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life, and year after year, the urgent message was never delivered? We who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Jesus Christ are responsible to proclaim to others the good news that Jesus Christ is their Savior. There isn't anything in life that we've done that God cannot forgive us for if we will repent and ask him. Amen. Serving Jesus and knowing Jesus is not a bunch of rules and regulations. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to help us in every way. And he is always available. And that's a good message. That's the good news. Our last scripture in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12, it says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Once again, we profess it. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life and share what he's done for us. It was awesome testimony from Karen about Brendan's journey and everything that God has done for them. You see, God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We look at situations and they just look so impossible. But God is a God of the impossible. And when we will keep our eyes on Jesus and continue to ask him, he's there. Karen notified several of us in the church. We were praying and interceding for a breakthrough for Brendan. Without his high school credentials, he couldn't go on into the college. But he had already been accepted into the college because they had assumed he'd get his credentials. So God made a way. God's a way maker. That's good news. When you're up against a wall, when you're facing a difficult situation, it's good to know there is someone who really cares for you. There is someone who is listening to you. And when we ask, he said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. That's the kind of God we serve. He's there with us in the good times and the hard times. And that's the time to serve him is when you're going through a good time, right? When things are going good. That's really the best time to serve him. But like I said, most people don't think about God until things get rough. And then it's like, God, where are you? And God's like, where have you been? I didn't go anywhere. So we have good news, and we're to fight the good fight of faith. It's faith. Faith. We walk by faith. Pastor Toby will be teaching on it next week. We walk by faith, not by sight. The economic condition in America will probably worsen. There's no way we can sustain what we're doing. I mean, that's just reality. But God said, for the people of God, this is a divine reversal time. This is a turnaround time. In the midst of everything that was going on with the children of Israel, if you remember, in the land of Goshen, everything was going pretty good. But for the Egyptians, things weren't going so well. They had lice and all kinds of stuff going on, flies, all kinds of plagues. But the children of Israel, God protected. God will protect us. That's what makes us different from the rest of the world. We can walk in peace knowing that God is on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? God goes before us and prepares the way. God is in charge of the armies in heaven. And when we come into alignment with God's will on the earth, there is a whole host of warring angels in the heavenlies that are fighting on our behalf. God is calling us to get in alignment with his will, to surrender ourselves to him, to seek him with our whole heart. And the scripture promises us that when we do that, we'll find him. We will find him. He is a personal God. He will talk to you. God's plan of preparation for you is probably different than the preparation he gave to us, but we are to seek God and ask God, how should we prepare? We know we live in perilous times, and we know that something is about to happen in September. According to the prophets, we keep hearing it. At the same time that's going on, which we don't have time to talk about today, but we will, is the blood moons are coming the end of September again. So there's an alignment in the sky. There is a sign in the sky. The sky is God's billboard, and he talks to us through the sun, moon, and stars. And we're not into astrology, but we know that God put the sun, moon, and the stars in the sky as signs. That word sign means signals, which means he's sending us a signal and communicating with us. These four blood moons that have come, these four events, have fallen on Jewish holidays. And for that to happen is very, very rare. So God is communicating, trying to get a message to us. But we've got to quiet ourselves before him. Maybe turn the TV off. Maybe get off your phone. I was laughing this morning. I walked in the praise room and everyone's on their phone. I said, everywhere in the world, this is what people are doing. Maybe we should like put that down and just pay attention to God, unless he's texting you. I don't know. But God does, he is communicating with us. And so this morning, as we get ready to close, God wants us to be a witness of his goodness. He wants us to share our testimony. No one can argue your testimony. It's your testimony. They might want to disprove the Bible, but hey, it's your testimony, your experience. People cannot argue that. So we want to be good witnesses and tell people what God has done for us. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for this time, for your word, for your admonition from Bishop this morning. Thank you, God, that you open the ears of every person in this place to hear what you're saying to them. And open the eyes of our heart, our understanding, Lord, so that we know what to do. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is in this earth to lead us and to guide us. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. And we thank you for your revelation and your direction for each one of us. And Jesus, we pray that you draw us closer to you. And we thank you for this great salvation that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.